Welcome to the Mountain Nerds Podcast. My name is Caleb, and this week, Taylor decided not to join us because she does not like our topic. Just kidding, just kidding, just kidding. She said, hey, look, why don't you get a couple of special guests that love the topic we're going to discuss, and you guys have like a little roundtable about it. So I decided we're going to do that. Today's topic is a favorite of mine and a favorite of most our listeners out there is Star Wars. And today I have Louis Dupuy with Southern Like Me.
Hello.
And LJ Lowry with Geeks Under Grace.
Yo.
And they will be joining me for this roundtable Star Wars discussion. I'm super excited about this. Hey, you know what? Thanks, guys, for being on the Mountain Nerds. You both were on individual episodes of when we were Life and Trails. So it's cool to have you both on this special episode of the Mountain Nerds podcast. So we're going to just go ahead and jump right in. We have a lot to discuss and a lot to cover. And we're going to go ahead and jump back to what year was that?
1978, I believe.
1978 with Star Wars.
Star Wars.
A New Hope. So tell us about your experience with Star Wars, A New Hope.
Well, I was very young at the time, and there was this new movie. Everybody was talking about it, and back then it was a little different because you didn't have all these outlets. You didn't have all these, you know, you didn't have the internet. You didn't have, you know, all the social media. So when they hyped a movie, it was a really big deal because even back then, not as many movies were made at one time. You know, you had a lot less writers. You had a lot less of everything. And like I say, you know, going to the movies was a really big deal. And they really made, you know, a lot of hype. They really built a lot of hype around it. And I can remember, like, before I even knew anything about the movie, I remember, you know, hearing promotions from, believe it or not, Burger King of all places.
And oh, wow.
They had these collector's posters from a new movie that was coming out. I had no idea what it was about. I was a little kid. My sister brought one home from a date she had with some weirdo. I don't know. But it was like one of like four or five different collector's posters. And she brought it home to me. And I'm just looking at it. And my eyes are so wide. I'm like, oh my God, what is this? You know? And then, you know, the picture has Chewbacca and it has, you know, all the characters on. And the first thing caught my eye was Chewbacca. And I was like, oh, that's a Bigfoot with a gun. That is going to be so cool.
That's awesome.
And there's a robot. He's made of gold. And I was like, this is going to be great. You know? And I still didn't know what the movie was about. But like every you know, big business at that time, the studios did heavy promotions with different things. I remember other fast food restaurants had like collector's glasses that were made out of glass. You can bring them, you know, and it had different Star Wars characters on them. And a lot of big things were happening around this movie, especially in the toy industry. And there's a lot of really cool information about when they were promoting this movie and they wanted to come out with a toy line. No toy companies wanted to mess with it. And they were getting turned down by all these, you know, these manufacturers that were, you know, just pumping out toys left and right. And they took a chance or gave a chance to this unknown toy company called Kenner at the time, and they weren't really big at all. And they say, you know, we'll give it a go. And of course there was when this movie was premiered, there was a deadline. So they had to get toys out for the Christmas that was coming, and kids were, they were going to be hyped. They were expecting toys for this movie. And, the toys weren't even ready. I can remember when they launched the movie, you know, people went to the theater and of course there were lines around the building. People were, you know, ready to get in. And of course, Kenner wanted to promote these toys, which they did not have at the time. And so what happened was, and there may be collectors that actually have these, you were given this little certificate. Mm-hmm. And then whenever they were available, you sent it in, and they sent you the toys.
Oh, cool.
And you actually had it was like this little cardboard thing. I don't know. It's probably about the size of a dinner placemat, and it had pictures of what the figures would look like, and so you knew which one to expect. And I can remember that Christmas I got a set of the Star Wars action figures, like the first run, and some of them weren't available at the time. So here I am, I'm playing, I have Darth Vader and I have Guido, and I have all these other characters, and I didn't have Luke Skywalker. So my bad guys were doing all this heinous stuff, and there was like, no, that's no fun. I have no hero here, and I could have brought over G.I. Joe, but he was like, five times the size, it was a really big deal. I can remember riding my bike, me and a cousin of mine riding our bikes to the theater, mm-hmm. to go watch the first Star Wars movie. And you walk in, we're all excited. And there's a guy that they probably got, who works at the theater to hand out the little certificates from Kenner. Hey, look, get your Star Wars action figures now. But no, I mean, it was an exciting time.
Mm-hmm.
Producers and directors and all these guys, they were just making names for themselves. You had a lot of heavy hitters that we know today that were just, they were young bucks at the time. Like, all these big storylines were untested.
But most importantly, did George Lucas have, did he have dark hair back then?
He had worked on some pretty popular, projects before.
Indiana Jones was after Star Wars, right? I can't remember offhand. Yeah, okay.
But he had just finished. I think it was American Graffiti at the time, so mm-hmm. he was kind of cutting his teeth, doing this type of thing. And they were approached, with this story, and he was trying to frame it as a space western. And everybody's like, oh, that's going to be dumb. Nobody's going to want to watch that. And one thing I have to say about George Lucas, he really went deep into developing the story, mm-hmm. and to developing the characters and even the influences that he had for framing out like all of the characters and the organization and how things were, like the political situation, mm-hmm. military situation, the resistance, like what it was all like. He went very deep into this and pulled some real life influences for the story.
Mm-hmm.
There was, of course you have, you also had religious, institutions like Christianity. And of course, mm-hmm. Of course you saw that at the end of Return of the Jedi at the end, you had Darth Vader, and you had Yoda, and you had
Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan. Yeah. At the end, so that was kind of like a quasi Trinity moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also had that redemption story as well.
Exactly.
Almost like a prodigal son with Darth mm-hmm. Vader, except for.
Right,
I think there was a lot of symbolism, because you had obviously you had the dark side, which mm-hmm. was representative of, evil. And then you had the light side, which is good and mighty and, pierce through the darkness and that sort of thing.
Right. Now the dark side, and I'm sure you guys know this already, but whenever they were developing the structure of the dark side, he used real life dark side, history. So for, the evil empire, he used Nazi Germany, Adolf Hitler. Mm-hmm. the term stormtroopers was really used. It wasn't something they made up for the movie. There were Nazi guards called stormtroopers. And just the visualization when they pan out, over the empire, you see all these regiments of stormtroopers, and they're all in formation. You see these big blocks of of stormtroopers. You know, that's very reminiscent of, you know, these war displays, these war, you know, when he would have, you know, and do all these big shows, because everything was very, how can I say it? You know, just like North Korea, you know, they make a big show of their military. So they do these parades and they have these guys in formation. And it seems like they just go on forever. Well, that's the kind of things that George Lucas pulled for for the visualization of Evil Empire. So all of these things were taken from, you know, of course they were fictional, but they were taken from real life and had influences drawn from real life.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, it's very interesting.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. I like that little back, the little background. So when you went go see it, how did you feel? What was your, when you sat in the theater and those credits started rolling at the end, how did you feel about it? What was your initial thoughts about it? Because up to that point, and correct me if I'm wrong, that was the first time something like that was out, with ships and lasers and all these different characters and robots and all of this, you know? How did you feel about that? What was your thoughts, if you can jump back and remember all that?
Well, I mean, you know, already, I mean, we were kind of used to a certain degree, you know, sci-fi went through a lot before I was born, you know, I was born in 69, like the early 60s, you know, and even into the 50s, I mean, you had the whole space race, you know, in the 50s and the 60s and the moon landing, all stuff. So there was a lot of sci-fi stuff. You had Lost in Space. You had Star Trek, Gene Roddenberry. You had a lot of these guys kind of like priming, kind of setting the stage that George Lucas can build off of, you know. And he just took it, you know, I mean, again, I have to give kudos to the depth that he went into to develop it, because it was way beyond, you know, what people were used to seeing as far as like story development, you know, and the details and the things that he had the characters do, and even the weapons. I mean, like a lightsaber, nobody heard of that. Yeah. You know, nobody saw anything like that before. Nobody knew what to make of it. You know, nobody knew how to make a, you know, something that was even close to it until recently, you know, for entertainment, for a toy rather. But
so were you just like, when you saw that as a kid in theater, were you just amazed? Was your eyes just wide? Like, whoa, this is just phenomenal.
Yes. I was disappointed. I saved up, because I didn't have a whole lot of money as a kid. I was like, you know, I'm going to buy my own popcorn, and I didn't even eat it. I just sat there with my eyes glued. And the credits are rolling. I still have a full box of popcorn. I walked out of the theater with a full box of popcorn and a Kinder toy certificate. And what was so cool was, like, they took you on such a ride. Like, you didn't know the characters' names. You didn't know anything about them. So you were learning this for the first time, you know? And so the perceptions, like, you know, during the first movie, you didn't know that Darth Vader was Luke Skywalker's dad. You know, like, you didn't know any of this history.
Yeah.
You know, Yoda wasn't even a thing. You know, it was just this.
Not until the second movie.
Right. So there was so much unknown, you know. And so the initial reception was like, it was just wow. You know, not just for the characters, but for the special effects and the story.
And back then they were still using, I mean, old school special effects, not just a blue screen. I mean, they were using puppets and miniatures and all of this other stuff that, you know, it's people today would be like, why don't you just stick that on a blue screen? And me and Tony were talking about this on our first podcast, that some of the stuff that was used and filmed actually, I mean, now there is some of it that looks better today, but some of it just looked amazing. I mean, I would prefer 100% puppet Yoda than CGI Yoda. Give me any day. I liked puppet Yoda. I just did. It was awesome.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, like I said, it was a different time. I mean, you would have to give it up to the props guys for just making this stuff.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, can you imagine being a props guy and you got somebody who walked in the door like George Lucas with this story, and we're going to have this spaceship, you know, and it's going to be, you know, it's going to do this, and these guys are going to, I'm often like, oh my God, really? But I mean, these guys just, they just used whatever was on hand, you know, what they could find at a thrift store or whatever, you know. I saw an interview with one of their props guys, and they made a huge spaceship out of a store display for pantyhose. I think there was these there were these pantyhose called legs, and they came with these little pods that looked like eggs, and they had like pantyhose in them, you know. And but there was this rack that they were sold in, you know, in the store, like a point of purchase item, you know, like a rack. And so they took that and they painted it, and they put all these little gadgets, and they just glued things on, just painted. And that was one of the spaceships in the, you know, in the series.
That's crazy.
You know,
that's absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
That's well, awesome. Anyway, I mean, go ahead.
I mean, look, these guys, you know, they had to make this stuff up. There was no precedent, you know, like the spaceships that are iconic to the film may not have, and you know, been intended to even look the way they did.
Mm-hmm.
They just so happened to look like, I mean, they looked like whatever the props guys had, you know? so like certain shapes or certain things is, you know, mm-hmm. everybody knows what the Millennium Falcon looks like, but
yeah.
you know, was that by design or was that because we had something that had that certain shape? And so we just used it. And next thing you know, it's ingrained into Star Wars history, if that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, we're going to jump. Well, we're going to go ahead and get in our light speed, and we're going to go ahead and jump about, give or take, 30 years in the future to Star Wars Episode One: A Phantom Menace, which was, at the time, I would say, I won't say controversial, but... It didn't get those prequel movies got a lot of hate. LJ, do you want to kind of expand on our prequel series?
Yeah. So real quick, some quick background, I guess. The first time I saw a Star Wars movie is a lot different from when Lewis saw the Star Wars, because for us, you know, like for me and Caleb, like our age, you know, we had to grow up with those movies on VHS. So it was kind of fascinating how we, you know, we watched those movies as kids, and like, I was fascinated by how my dad would explain to me, yeah, like, you know, these are 4, 5, and 6, you know, 1, 2, and 3 isn't even made yet or whatever, like, you know, and on all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so the day that Episode 1 came out was huge. Like, we were allowed to skip school that day to go watch Episode 1. it was a Friday. It was awesome. So we skipped school. Well, the toy thing. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, like, the toy thing was still like, it's still a huge thing. But like, even then, when Episode 1 came out, the marketing for that was huge. I remember for my birthday that year, I got mostly like Star Wars Episode 1 stuff, like, you know, action figures and all that. But the prequels were, there was issues that people had with it, such as like Jar Jar Binks and stuff like that, and. You know, the whole like midichlorians thing, you know, have all these reasons for the Force and things like that that they provided, and people were like, oh, that's dumb. But for somebody like me, as a kid, it didn't matter. You know, you're watching this Order of Space Knights, you know, fight the bad guys and stuff. And that was also my first introduction to Liam Neeson. And Liam Neeson is still like one of my favorite actors because of that movie. I like anything that dude is in. But it's just a magical experience. And I think I wrote an article about this on Geeks Under Grace.
And we'll put that article up, LJ, if you could send it to me. I'll stick it in the show notes.
Okay.
For sure.
Yeah, and so what it was talking about the legacy of Star Wars before... I wrote it before Force Awakens came out because... You know, it was one of those things where, you know, our parents got to pass Star Wars on to us when we were kids. And then people who were having kids or had kids at the time, they got to pass it on to that generation too. So, the magic is still there in a lot of ways. And having marathoned all these movies back in November before Rise of Skywalker came out, you know, it really, like, yeah, the prequels have their issues. They do. But for me, it was a fun ride, especially, I mean, with episode one, like, that movie probably it holds up the least, but it's just a fun ride, especially, Darth Maul was a huge thing, even though he had a very minor role in the movie. They knew people loved that character, and they expanded on him later in other things.
Yeah.
We'll
kind of dive into more of that a little bit later, where we talk about Darth Maul and just several of the expanded stuff. I won't say expanded universe stuff, but more of just the expanded stuff they did. These recent years in the 2010s, they've done a ton of stuff, and they brought him back. What everybody was like, really? But we'll jump into that in a little bit. So, LJ, my first experience going along with you with Star Wars, because I never had seen the originals. My first experience, I was in a hotel for my dad went to go see a Dallas Cowboys game, and I was in a hotel, and we watched Star Wars Episode One: The Phantom Menace. I've never heard of, I heard Star Wars, but we never really watched it. And I sat there and watched that movie and was like, this is awesome. I have to watch this again.
See, that is very fascinating.
I was like, because I was so young at the time, I was like, maybe when it came out 2001, I think.
99, I think.
Was it not? Oh, yeah. Well, I was 8 years old. I was 8 years old when that movie came out, and I was just like, this is awesome. I want to be a Jedi.
Yeah.
And then, you know, later on in 2003, we got 2001 or 2003. We got the Clone Wars.
Yep.
And Clone Wars, in my opinion, was out of the prequel movies. Once again, my opinion is the strongest out of the prequels, because it set up a lot of what would become an animated series down the line. And it also introduced these clones that had a major effect on the rest of the story. You know, that really, I mean, without these clones, the third movie really couldn't do what it was supposed to do, which gave birth to Stormtroopers and the rest of the whole series. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's. In my experience, a lot of people gave the prequel movies such hate, but I liked them. That's what I grew up on. That's what I knew. And then, of course, obviously, I went back and watched the originals, and I was like, okay, wait, these are really good. I like these even more. But I still liked, you know, I liked the prequels. That's what I grew up on. And to me, it was just like, it was a fun story. It was the origin stories of Darth Vader. I mean, one of the most iconic characters in film history, you know?
Yeah. The tortured soul.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it kind of gave that in a whole new light. And then back then we also started using, so this, obviously episode one, we started using more digital stuff.
Yes.
You know, so we moved away from a lot of the physicality that they had in the originals, and now we're moving into more of the blue screen, more movement, green screen, blue screen, more digital, you know. And so I think a lot of people, probably from your generation, it was like they watched the prequels and they're like, this sucks compared to what we watched. Well, we had the good stuff, man.
One of the biggest things that I was questioning, you know, after watching the, the originals, was I was really worried that, okay, well, you know, technology is better, you know, and so this is supposed to be the prequels, but the technology is going to be so much better, and then years later, it's all like 70s, you know, with the pantyhose displaced starships.
And now you have that, and then it's just blue screen.
Right. Yeah, I made the joke, I think last year when I watched these movies, is that that scene where the Gungans are fighting on Naboo, looks like they're fighting in the Windows XP wallpaper.
I mean, let's face it, you're not wrong.
the green hills, you know, like
I'm right.
It reminded me.
Oh my goodness.
You'll see a Windows logo in the background.
Yeah.
Misa, what you do?
Yeah.
Man, that was really, seriously, the worst, one of the worst Star Wars characters ever is Jar Jar Binks. ass. And I felt so bad because the guy that played him got so much hate. It like destroyed his career pretty much.
And that's what's sad is I watched a video about that. I mean, he wasn't a terrible character. I think it was because, I mean, there was a lot of reasons. Episode one in particular gets a lot of hate that, you know, when they talk about what order should you watch the movies in, there's like the chronological order. Then there's like the machete order that they talk about. And, but then a lot of people just say, oh, you can leave out episode one and start at episode two easily, which they're not wrong.
No,
but I'm just like, man, it's just crazy to see, like what, you know, like the controversy around the prequels, I guess, but there's a lot of nostalgia and, I think for me, episode three is my favorite just because out of the prequels, just because that's where, you know, that's where things happen and that's where it gets dark and, you know, there's going to be some Empire Strikes Back levels of the good guys are not winning this one, you know, like,
right.
You know what to expect. You're waiting for the thing to happen. And I feel like that's where Anakin kind of like, you know, he's still like kind of a whiny immature kid through two and part of three. But at the same time, you know, like, okay, this is where it's going to happen. And so I think to me, the theater experience for that, like, was the ultimate. And so I think just to see the lead up to that, I think for me, was probably the best part of the prequels.
I agree. I agree with that as well. And going back to Jar Jar Binks, it's actually really cool because the actor who played Jar Jar Binks is actually in, it was on the tip of my tongue. He is now playing a character in a TV show and as a TV host of a game show. Excuse me. It's the Star Wars Temple Challenge.
The Jedi Temple.
Yeah, the Jedi Temple Challenge. I think that's the name of it. Is it on Disney Plus yet?
Disney Plus.
Okay, I haven't watched it yet, but he is actually playing a Jedi in the movie. And it's him. You know, the actor who played Jar Jar Binks. So he has that like. I'm sure he feels a little redeemed. He's like, finally, I know it's just a game show, but I'm playing a character in the game show. So I get a little redemption.
That's hopefully not Jar Jar Binks.
Oh my goodness. Which, honestly, Jar Jar Binks was such a throwaway character. Let's face it. Because
he was comic relief.
They really, they had him in the first movie. They had him make a tiny cameo in the second movie. And then the third movie, he was just like, he made like a tiny appearance at the end. He was just such a throwaway.
I think with the, you know, with the thing that really got to people the most was it was a little bit over the top with slapstick comedy. That really wasn't a venue for slapstick comedy. And they just drove it because people were used to the type of comedy that Harrison Ford brought to Han Solo. It was dry. It was kind of sly, you know, and he got those little one-liners and it was more of like a badass humor. You know, because he would cut somebody's arm, you know, shoot him, and then he'd say something kind of like an Indiana Jones kind of funny. That's what people were kind of expecting, like a funny, like Wild Wild West type of, you know, I'm going to be funny, but it's going to be, you know, really, really bad, you know, badass. You know, and you know, when people started getting this over the top slapstick every scene this character was in, I think that's what kind of turned them off to that character because it wasn't needed. Because there was already that layer of humor. It was it was just enough, you know, to fill in the gap.
Now I will say one of the best characters, and we can, you know, I wholeheartedly believe this, that the best character in the prequels is my favorite character, Star Wars character of all time, is Obi-Wan Kenobi. Ewan McGregor portrayed that role and he was just, I can't imagine, because they're doing they're going to be doing the show on Disney Plus, focused on his character. Right. I can't imagine anyone else just taking his place in that role. He is iconic as that character. Anytime I watch a movie with Ewan McGregor, I'm like, what's Obi-Wan Kenobi doing? What's he doing in this movie?
He's a really good actor.
I was watching Birds of Prey and I thought, why is Obi-Wan Kenobi the bad guy? But no, it's, you know, I think, you know, once again, I'm a big fan. I like the prequels. I like pretty much all of Star Wars except for the newer stuff. But the, you know, I think it they did a lot of changes, and they did a lot of things that a lot of people disagree with, but you also get some of those iconic characters like Obi-Wan. Everyone loves Obi-Wan. I mean, Ewan McGregor is Obi-Wan. I've never ran into somebody who was like, I hate this guy, you know? And right. Liam Neeson, come on. And, you know, you got the cool combat of Ray Park as Darth Maul, and, you know, you got to see, you know, Natalie Portman in one of her, you know, I think it was right at the beginning of her career, really.
A lot of actors that blew up because of that movie. I think Natalie Portman was the only other thing I think I remember her in before that was, I think she was the girl in The Professional.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And that was it. Yep. Like,
yep. I mean, wasn't really that known like she is today. And and so it took off a lot. I think it helped a lot of people's career. Now, poor Hayden Christensen, his career kind of disappeared. after that, but yeah, any final thoughts on the prequels?
I went into them, you know, already having a history, so like my thing was, well, these things better live up, you know, because I was expecting the same, you know, the same excitement as I did. I'm like, there was, you know, a little kid. I was so excited, and and when it came, like, I wanted that excitement again. But as an adult, so I was a pretty tall order to begin with, you know, because adults don't get excited about too much, you know. But you know, I was like, when I knew it was happening, like I was excited because I remember how I felt as a little kid. Oh, and one funny side note from the 70s when the first movie came out. This was probably at the height of the disco era, okay? So there was a Star Wars medley song, and it was disco. And it was in the top 40, you were like forever.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my, it was so funny. Oh yes. Okay. Let me get off the old stuff. Okay.
No, you're fine. I just
remembered I had to put that in there. Oh my god, I didn't talk about that.
That's so great. LJ, did you have any final thoughts about the prequels?
Not really.
Okay. Well, we're gonna hop in and jump forward light speed a little bit further to recent. And we're jumping into The Force Awakens. After several years, the Force kind of disappeared, and all of a sudden, it's back. So, I'm going to talk a little bit about it. My experience, I was so excited because I'm like, all right, I got the prequels, I had the originals, and now I'm getting something new. They made the announcement. I was like, oh my goodness, this is going to be so exciting. And then they've announced new characters, and the old characters were returning, and it's going to be fantastic. I'm so excited. Sat through the first movie and was like, oh, okay. I feel like a kid from the 70s and 80s felt going into the prequels. This is how I felt going into the newer sequels series. I just felt, I felt let down. I really did. And it's not because I think for the sequel series, they were really pushing nostalgia. That's what they were pushing. Oh, look, we have Leia Organa. She's back. We have old Han Solo. He's back. And we have Chewie. And look at this. And then obviously you have characters like Rey, you know, who felt really, I mean, Rey was cool. I like that. It was really cool at the end how, you know, now she's the Jedi. You know, you through the whole movie, you're thinking Finn's going to be the Jedi. He's going to be the Jedi the whole time. I went in expecting that. And then Rey's the actual Jedi.
That was a fun piece.
And I was like, whoa. I totally didn't expect that. That was pretty cool. And then, but then you still have that, you know, almost Hayden Christensen, you know, he's not in this movie, but we got whiny Ben Solo. it was his performance, Adam Driver's performance as Ben, or as a lot of people know him. I can't think of the name. I just blanked on
Kylo
it.
Ren.
Kylo Ren. Thank you. As Kylo Ren, his performance for me, it was just like, okay, so we have another whiny Darth Maul or Darth Vader wannabe.
Like, he got better though.
He did. He did. And that's where I'm going to. So I feel like honestly the whole series was for him. That's what I feel like. It was just a Ben Solo series. For, I mean, Ray and Poe and Finn, they were in there, and
he was secretly kind of the hero of the whole time.
Exactly. He was the main guy. And you have all these other characters that are, I felt, to me, they felt like they could have been supporting characters, you know? But you have this,
right?
It like almost capitalized this story. And then, you know, towards the end, he has that just amazing redemptive arc where he's fighting side by side with Rey, and you could see this internal battle. I mean, honestly, in my opinion, his internal struggle made the sequel series. Mm-hmm. It was the core of the sequel series.
Oh, yeah.
Because without that, it was kind of like, okay, we have three new characters who are going to do the exact same thing as the old characters did.
Right.
I mean, we already did that. And you're also bringing back the old characters. So you have six characters who are just doing the same thing that they, you know, we're going to fight against pretty much the villains again. We've already done this.
That's what people were expecting. You know, like when I saw, you know, the sequel movies and, you know, you see the old Han Solo for the first time, or you see the old Princess Leia for the first time, and you finally get to see Luke Skywalker. It's like, you already had a reference to these people. Like you watch it already knowing how badass they were.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so it was kind of like the heroes finally showed up. You know, all these youngsters running around, and then like you have like these old guys, because whenever, you know, like even in real life, whenever old characters show up, they have this unseen vibrato where they don't have to do much. Mm-hmm. Like they've already proven themselves.
Yeah. They walk on screen and people jaws drop.
Yeah, they don't have to. They just have to show up.
Exactly.
And you know, because they just bring it with them. They bring so much power. They, you know, and it's like they really didn't have to do more much for people to be excited just to see them on screen because they already knew the stories.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. And for them, though, it's just like, especially with the new characters, I just feel like Rey, Poe, and Finn, it was more for marketing than anything else. It really was. I mean, you know, that's what it just felt like. It felt not, and I think that was a major problem with the sequel series, that the characters just weren't, I don't know. It just felt like clones of the other characters. I mean, Han Solo was Poe, you know. He's like, you know, the suave pilot guy. Rey is Luke, and Finn is Leia, kind of in a weird, but like in a weird twist way, you know, like the female's the hero. And I do think that's cool how they did have Rey as the, you know, finally a female taking kind of this lead role as this Jedi. And that to me is awesome because I don't really know prior to any of the other movies. But I mean, I'm not counting Leia. We can get into that later. But we didn't really haven't seen a female Jedi that was like predominantly this was her movie up until we start getting into like the Rebels and Clone Wars with Ahsoka and Ahsoka.
Rogue One was pretty good.
Rogue One.
There was a strong lead. I mean, she was the central character, and she really held her own and held that story together. I mean, it was a great linking movie. You know, that happens before even, you know, the original three series.
Yeah.
It was a nice link.
And that to me is cool because, like I said, you started off with this, finally, there's this female Jedi. And then like right after the next movie we get, the little sequel, it's a like side story of another lead female role. You know, which was great. I mean, I really like that. I like that they had some inclusion there because it was like, okay, all the, you know, it was the boys show, and now we got a little diversity in that.
Right.
And to me, that's really cool that they did that. Up in terms of straight story with the in terms of just straight story stuff with the sequel series, I feel like it was just lacking. Like I said, I think without the whole Ben Solo, change of heart, that if that was gone, if he was barely in it, then I feel like it would just be like, okay, like I don't, this is not really going anywhere. Like we've already seen this. Well, that's my opinion. You know, I'm not...
One thing I really wish we would have got to see was a little bit more of the, you know, of his downfall. You know, how he turned to the dark, because we didn't get any of that. He had already made that transformation, you know, and he was trying to,
we saw flashbacks,
right? Yeah, and it was, you know, I would love to have seen a little bit more of that to kind of, because it would have gave me a little bit more, like, even when he's trying to turn around, like, give me a little bit more empathy for him.
You know? Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I feel like what they gave was, I'm not saying it was sufficient enough. I agree with you. I think they really need some background, but I do like how they inserted that. Like when Han Solo's standing on the bridge and he gets the lightsaber through, he's like, "It's okay, son." And he like does the lightsaber through him and he kills an iconic character. And
right.
You see that scene, you just see his face and he's like in shock. What just happened? Like he went like it just like,
you knew at that moment that was it because he questioned it.
Yeah. And so you started to see that struggle and then it started building up and Rey was a good bouncing board. I honestly wish we could have seen, I feel like they could have done that character a little bit more justice. Rey, they could have done a little bit more with her and her character. Mm-hmm. And now the one thing that really bugged me and this, it really completely bothered me. I didn't like it. And I don't want to sit here and just bash the sequel. I mean, that's not my intention, but it's something that I don't really read a lot of people bringing up, but they had the character of Rose in the second movie. And mm-hmm. she was such an important character. She was with these other actors, you know, mm-hmm. her and Finn kind of went through together and she had this crush on Finn. And then the next movie, they kind of threw her away. They didn't do anything with her.
My theory with that was the Jar Jar thing. Is that there was controversy because unfortunately it became a race thing. She was getting bashed, because the problem was I think it was the Jar Jar thing where they saw that, okay, people don't like this character, so we're just going to push her off to the side, kind of like they did with Jar Jar. And that kind of sucks.
Yeah, because I kind of liked our character, quite honest. I thought she was an amazing character, and it's like, mm-hmm. they threw her away. And it was like, mm-hmm. what happened? And then it was a little confusing with this whole, like, almost like Finn seemed like he was in love with Rey. It was like they were trying to insert this weird romantic thing and then it just like didn't work. It was weird. It just didn't, right. In my opinion, it just didn't, I don't know what they were trying to do, but
well, they were trying to rekindle kind of like the Han Solo Princess Leia.
Yeah.
Kind of like it wasn't like a forbidden love. It was just like the timing was never right for either one of them, you know? And,
yeah.
And it was intriguing to watch.
Yeah.
You know, because whenever he was available, she wasn't available, and vice versa. You know, Han Solo, you know, getting into the carbon freeze, you know, and he that's when he expresses his, you know, his whole, you know, I love you. You know, he never tells her he loves her. He just says, you know, me too or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. But it was always frustrating and intriguing to watch because they were like almost connected, then not,
yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. But that's also what kept. The female viewers, you know, because mm-hmm. back then, and of course now, you know, you have to cater to all of your demographics in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there was this unfinished love affair, you know.
Yeah.
And I think they tried to recreate this, you know. That's why you saw those two characters kind of go back and forth and separate and connect and separate.
And then I feel like the last movie, though, it just kind of, they just left it. They were like, you know what, we're just leaving. Because then Rey had this whole thing with Ben Solo, with Kylo Ren. And it was like, I'm so confused. Like, what are you guys doing here? Oh, they're trying to create this weird love triangle that was just like, mm-hmm. I'm like, once again, but what you were saying, that brings me back to my first point about the sequel series, is they wanted to bring in nostalgia. They wanted to take what was from the originals and they wanted to put it in this movie. And it just, it didn't work, I think, like they intended it to. It didn't. Oh,
you want to talk about failed nostalgia? That the whole battle in Snoke's throne room when, you know, you're fighting, it's a big, it looks like a set from like a, you know, old 60s, you know, Marilyn Monroe movie. I mean, I was waiting for guys in top hats to start dancing and, you know, carrying her around.
It did look kind of like a stage, like, set or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was waiting for a musical to start.
All right. I think we'll go ahead and jump in. Do you guys have any final thoughts about the sequel series?
No, I think, I mean, I guess, you know, it's like, we all know that they have issues, but I think, you know, there's still a lot to appreciate about them.
Yeah. And there is, yeah. And I agree with you on that, LJ. I think, mm-hmm. you know, we did get to see, once again, I know as much as I say that they push nostalgia, it was cool to get to see, come on, it was cool to get to see Mark Hamill as old Luke Skywalker again. It was mm-hmm. awesome to get to see Carrie Fisher's, you know, final performance. And it was great to see, you know, he died, but Han Solo and that little in Ben Solo's mind, Kylo Ren's mind, as he saw his dad and got to talk with him.
Right.
And it was cool to, we got those little moments. I think overall the sequel series was weaker. It was the weakest mm-hmm. out of all of them, in my opinion. And there could be, look, if you like the sequel series, that's good for you. A lot of people hate the prequel series and I love it. So, mm-hmm. you know, I think Star Wars is Star Wars is Star Wars, you know, like,
yeah. It's still magical in a lot of ways.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, all these years later, you know, all these years later, you have all these movies and you have all the toys and you have all the costumes and you have all the, you know, all these spinoffs and merchandise and, mm-hmm. you know, it just goes on and on and on. And back then when I was a little kid, just looking at this poster from Burger, like none of that existed.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so it's cool. Like, and like to know, oh, another side note, which is so funny. And I'll stop with the side notes.
No, it's fine.
I had one Halloween, I was Boba Fett. And they had these old Halloween costumes, and they probably don't make them like that for kids anymore. But it was like a little plastic jumpsuit that tied in the back. And it had like this plastic mask that like stuck to the front of your face with a little rubber band around the back. Uh-huh. And it was Boba Fett. And I was Boba Fett for one Halloween. I couldn't breathe in the mask, but that was it. That was it.
Oh, that's awesome.
And this may still exist somewhere. After the first movie, they thought it would be a great idea to do a Chewbacca storyline Christmas show.
Yes, I've heard of this. I've heard of this.
Yep. Anyway, that was one of the crazier things.
I don't even think that we have one. To. I think we all know it's just going to be one of those things on this podcast that we're just not going to talk about, the Star Wars Christmas special. We just won't even go there. We won't go there.
Right.
But moving on, I just want to kind of briefly talk about the remainder of our time is just talk about what else is out there. You know, we have the two sequels, the little spinoff series. We have The Mandalorian, we have The Clone Wars, Rebels. I'm just going to kind of open it up here. Whatever you guys want to talk about, we can jump right in. I know you were talking about Star Wars, the Rogue One, you know, how that was.
Yes.
It was cool, man. That ending scene just like completely.
Whew. Right. Yeah. Ooh. That brought it around. And to note, interesting fact, there was not one single lightsaber in that movie.
Yeah.
At all.
Really?
None.
I honestly didn't That's think awesome. About that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, now I really loved going to TV, moving to TV series. I really enjoyed The Clone Wars now and Star Wars Rebels. And I'll tell you why. The Clone Wars, for me, I enjoyed story arcs of The Clone Wars. It's an animated mm-hmm. series, so it took me a lot to get in through it. I put it on the background while I was working. But mm-hmm. And I just finished, I just watched it this year. But they carry a lot of like these little story arcs, you know, and we get to see more of the universe that we didn't get to see before. Mm-hmm. But then mm-hmm. moving on to the sequel series that was on Disney XD, it was Star Wars Rebels. And if you haven't mm-hmm. seen Star Wars Rebels yet, go watch it. You will not be disappointed. It's another animated show, but it's more focused than The Clone Wars was. It's a more focused mm-hmm. series. And it's about this just young, you know, right after Order 66. And it's about these Jedis just trying to survive, these little tiny rebels. And LJ, I know you watched it, correct?
Yeah, I've watched some of it. I've never finished Rebels or Clone Wars yet, but
You get to see characters like you know, through Rebels and through Clone Wars, you get to see Ahsoka, which is like a pretty big character in that series, and she's going to be making an appearance in The Mandalorian, allegedly. Mm-hmm. And so I'm excited to see that. Now, has everyone seen The Mandalorian?
Yes, I loved it.
I have not.
You will like The Mandalorian. If you have, do you have Disney? It's on Disney Plus right now.
Yes, yes. I'll have to crack the seal on that one.
Go watch The Mandalorian. You will not be disappointed. It is such a good. I feel like The Mandalorian takes you back to that like cowboy western.
Right.
Pedro Pascal plays this Mandalorian, who, if listeners, you guys should all know what The Mandalorian like. A Mandalorian is, but I'll just kind of describe it. I think Boba Fett, same kind of concept, same kind of armor. I actually don't know if Boba Fett was actually a Mandalorian according to Star Wars lore, but he had the armor. I know that. I don't know if he was or not. I have to look that up.
It gets confusing.
It does.
Jango Fett being, with Jango Fett being a clone and stuff, like, I think he was, but yeah, I know that's kind of in the weeds. So yeah. I know what you mean.
But the series, and I'll specifically talk about The Mandalorian right now because I think season 2 is actually coming out next. Is it next month? I think it's the end of
October 30th.
October 30th. So Mandalorian focuses on this this Mandalorian, this bounty hunter. Think Boba Fett from the original series. And he is, you know, doing a job. Well, he comes across, and everyone should know about this right now, is a little Yoda, baby Yoda, which has been marketed like crazy. Baby, you should know baby Yoda. If you don't, I don't know what to tell you. But he falls under the watch, or he starts watching this baby Yoda, and which is not actually Yoda, by the way. It's just his same species that they haven't named yet. But this little Yoda creature is you know, they get into like hijinks and all kind of crazy stuff happens. They get hunted. The Mandalorian decides not to turn in this Yoda species to the his employers, and he's on the run with this creature. And then we get to meet all these awesome characters along the way, and it's just a great series. I'm just gonna put a bow on it. It's an awesome series. You want that live action? I feel like The Mandalorian almost takes you back to the originals. That's how I felt. It has that like old school. I don't know what you'd call it. The old school Western.
Right.
You know, you get a little bit of Jedi stuff, but it's mostly the old school. I would say like the old school Western stuff. I would say, you know, with. And there's just, I think season 2 is introducing a lot of characters from like the Clone Wars. So they're tying all that in as well.
Right.
So it's really cool to see the whole Star Wars universe just coming together.
Right.
And I love how they're doing that. I really do.
I did have a chance to read a few of the Darth Vader comics. And those kind of gave me a different insight. I mean, Darth Vader was such a fascinating character for me.
Yeah.
And he was the guy who ended up not being who I thought he was all along. And it was so interesting. Like you feel sorry for him because he was a he was kind of like a whipping boy for the, you know, for the Emperor. And the suit that he wears was essentially a torture device for him.
Yeah.
And it was created to keep him agitated and mean. And when the suit, well, according to storyline, when the suit was built, there was better technology out there for breathing and comfortability and weight and all that stuff. But they wanted him to suffer. And so there were things about the suit that pierced him, that restricted his breathing, that made it hard for him to heal and survive. So he was barely surviving in this suit.
Yeah.
And so
he was still one of the most powerful characters in the whole series.
Right. But the way he was treated and the way, I mean, basically treated like a dog by the Emperor, you know, and by Palpatine just really, you know, he just treated him horribly.
Yeah.
And it was just, I don't know if it was a combination of that and the lost love, we knew the princess and stuff, just made him so hateful.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, he was a genuine tortured soul.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, it was, I think the whole, like, the series as a whole, you know, I can't say, you know, there are problems I've had with the movies. There are problems that I've had with the show. There are problems that I've had. But overall, I love Star Wars. And I think at the end of the day, right. I know there are a lot of fans go back and forth and they're like, well, this, you know, this didn't work. You know, midichlorians or whatever, you know, a lot of fans go back and forth about it. And all this, talking about the controversial stuff and talking about the stuff that like, right. made the series bad. But let's, you know, I challenge people, take all that away and just enjoy the series for what it is.
Yeah.
You know, a bunch of space wizards. You know, on starships and, you know, and robots.
Right.
Come on, you can't get any
right.
better than that. And
right.
I think the series just as a whole is amazing. You know, just from the...
Oh, yeah.
With this overarching, you know, almost... how many years now? Like, going on 50? Is it almost 50?
Mm-hmm.
Has it been?
Yeah, 50? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's in the mid-40s.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's crazy that series has lasted this long and is still going strong, and we're getting plus content, and we're getting all this other content, you know,
right.
Video games. They just came up with Star Wars Fallen Order this past year.
Yeah.
And they tied it into the, you know, we got the books, we got the cartoons, we got the movies, we got the series, mm-hmm. we got all of this content coming out.
Mm-hmm.
It, to mm-hmm. me, I would say the series as a whole is a success if they're able to do that.
Oh, yeah.
It's so iconic, mm-hmm. and it's such a success that they are able to expand 40, almost 40-something years of entertainment, you know?
Right.
And people want it. Mm-hmm. And it's people, you can't, like, go up to somebody and be like, hey, I just watched this movie, Star Wars, and they're like, wait, what's that?
Everyone even if they don't like it, they know what it is.
You know?
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, even like mm-hmm. you can go to my grandpa, you know, in the nursing home, like Papa, like what is like Star Wars? He's like, oh yeah, Star Wars. Like
you know? Just start rattling things off. Yeah.
People know what that is, but I'll just go ahead and we'll kinda close it out here. I thank both of you guys coming on for this round
table
discussion. And I definitely want to do another round table discussion again. About just different topics. I think this would be a really cool thing to do with the Mountain Nerds. LJ, where can they find you at? If people want to hear more from you.
You can find me personally, anything Geeks Under Grace related, but you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at WarHeroLJ. You can check me out on the Geeks Under Grace podcast weekly. And then I stream on our Twitch channel on Friday nights.
And we'll include all those links within. If LJ, if you want to send me all that, we'll include that in our in our show notes. And Lewis, where could they find you?
Well, coming soon, you'll be able to find this podcast and my own on southernlikeme.com.
Absolutely, and I heard that you have this like really cool co-host on the Southern Like Me podcast.
Yeah, you may have heard of him before.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, at this point, everything is getting ready to launch the new website, the new store, the new blog, and the new Southern Like Me podcast. So look forward soon.
Awesome. Cool. And you could also join the Facebook group as well. We have a Facebook community,
huge Facebook group,
Southern Like Me. If you want to, if you're in the Southern culture and you want to just meet some awesome people, go join it. You know, pretty much everybody is welcome. You know, it's just a great group to have fun and chat, you know. And then you could find us at Mountain Nerds. You can go on Facebook at Mountain Nerds Podcast. We do have a Facebook page. You can find us on Instagram at Mountain Nerds Pod or on Twitter at Nerds Mountain. I always joke about that because that's what Twitter gave us. Twitter gave us Nerds Mountain for some weird reasons.
So you ran with it.
I just ran with it. I like it. So, but yeah, thanks again, guys, for coming, and stay well and stay nerdy.